And the Rebbe, Rishab, with Friedrich Rebbe, came to the hotel, and the workers gave them a room, and they saw that in the next room, the family, the wife, and she had three daughters, were sitting Shiva. And the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe went to their room, they put down the stuff, they rested up a little bit, and all of a sudden the Rebbe Rishab said, "Let's go for a walk in the city." Okay, let's go for a walk in the city. The Friedrich Rebbe now goes with his father, the Rebbe Rishab, and they're walking out of the hotel down the road. After a few blocks, they came to a big yeshiva. That's what the building said. The big yeshiva. And the Rebbe said, "Let's go into this yeshiva." They go into the yeshiva. They go into the big yeshiva. And it's full of bachurim learning. And also, there are other people, older people that are learning. And, you know, in those days, and hopefully even in these days, in a yeshiva, you have all kinds of people sitting and learning. Yeshiva bachurim and people that live in the city that want to go learn Torah. Men and boys are learning Torah in the yeshiva. Now, when the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe walked in, again, nobody said, "Look, there's the Rebbe Rishab, there's the Friedrich Rebbe." They saw two fine Yidden, looked like Talmidei Chachamim, walked in the yeshiva, and the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe did not just go to a table to sit down to learn. The Rebbe Rishab said to Friedrich Rebbe, as they entered the big yeshiva zal, where the boys learn and the men learn, the Rebbe Rishab said, "Let's go over to that table of bachurim, and I'd like to sit down with those yeshiva boys and ask them questions in the Gemara they're learning." So the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe went to a table, and they sat down, and the Rebbe Rishab got in a conversation with some of the Bachrim and started asking them different questions. And the Bachrim, of course, saw this is a big Talmid Chachim. And he was explaining different things, and then they started asking him different things. And then a lot of other Bachrim that saw what was happening at that table, that there was a lot of learning going on, they also came. And now there's a big crowd of Bachrim by the table of the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe. And there was learning going back and forth, questions and answers and explaining things. And the Bachrim saw that two special Talmidei Chachamim were in their yeshiva. Now, it just so happened, of course, this is Hashkacha Pratis, that the two main Bachrim that the Rebbe Rishab was asking the most questions to, that were sitting right across from him, was an older Bacher and a little bit younger Bacher. The older Bacher, we don't know too much about him, but the younger Bacher happened to be exactly the same boy that was walking down the street very fast when the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe came out of the train station. Who remembers that Bacher who was walking down the street very, very fast with his big Gemara in his hand? He's probably going to the yeshiva. Well, he was sitting right across from the Rebbe Rishab. And then after a while, the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe got up and they left the yeshiva to go back to the hotel. And the whole way while they were walking, the Rebbe Rishab was praising those two Bachrim, the older one and the younger one. You know what praising means? Saying good things about them, how good they were, and fine Bnei Torah, and fine boys they were, and how good they were in learning. Finally, they got back to the hotel. They did not go up to their room, but they went into the room where the widow of Rebbe Avraham and his three daughters were sitting Shiva for their father. They went to be Menachem Avel, That's where you say the pasuk, "Hamakom yinachem eschem," and you make the family feel better. You comfort the mourners. The Rebbe Rashab and the Fidik Rebbe, we're sitting now with the widow and her three daughters. And they were speaking, and the Rebbe was trying to make them feel comforted after the loss of Rebbe Avraham. And then the Rebbe Rashab said, "I see you have three daughters, and two of them look like they're old enough to be kala meidelach, like they're old enough to be married. Why don't you find for them shiduchim, that they should be married? Find chasonim, find boys to marry them." And the woman said, "Oh, I would love for my daughters to be married, and of course they would love to be married, but times are very hard. It is very difficult to make money in the hotel, and especially now that my husband, Rabbi Avram, has passed away, how can we make the machasene? It costs so much money. In fact, I don't even have enough money to afford for a dress for my daughter, or even my two daughters, but even one daughter. I can't even afford the wedding gown for my daughter. How can I afford to make a chasana? And especially if I want her to marry a Talmud Chochem, so I have to give a nice dowry. I have to give money for the chasana to be able to learn Torah, and to set up a new home and everything. It costs so much money." And she started to cry. And the girls also heard it, and they started to cry. And the Rebbe Rashab saw how much they wanted to be married, but the money part was so difficult. And the Rebbe Rashab said, "You know what? Maybe it's not as difficult as you think. In fact, maybe I could help. First of all, don't worry about the wedding gown. I happen to have a beautiful wedding gown right here with me. And I will give that for your older daughter, that she should be able to have a beautiful wedding gown. And when it comes time for the next daughter, I could also help with that. In fact, I have the wedding gown right in my room." And the Fidik Rebbe thinks to himself, the pink package from the dress shop with the pink flowers and the pink ribbon. My father is telling them it's a wedding gown. Just yesterday, my father, the Rebbe Rashab, went shopping for a wedding gown. And he tells them that he has it right here. That's very interesting. And the woman cries and she says, That's wonderful of you to want to give a wedding gown, that my daughter should have a nice dress to wear for the chasana. But without a chosin, it's not going to be a nice wedding. How could she stand alone under the chuppah? How will I find a chosin?" And again, the Rebbe Rashab said, "You know what? I don't think that's going to be too hard either. I know some very fine yeshiva bacharim that learn in the yeshiva in this city. And I think that the older bachur that I know, who's a very fine boy, would be very nice for your older daughter. And there's a younger bachur, a little bit younger, who would be very nice for your younger daughter. Not the youngest, I don't think she's ready yet, but the second daughter." Alright, we're already getting to the shidduch part, which is over, you know, wonderful. But we can't finish the shidduch today or make the chasana because, you know, we can't rush stuff. So on fun day, Mirtz Hashem, we'll finish the story on fun day. And maybe we can, Mirtz Hashem, begin the new story. Two fine yeshiva bachrim. And the woman said, "Would you possibly be able to arrange a shidduch for my daughter and a shidduch for my second daughter, two shidduchim?" And the Rebbe Rashab said, "I will be very happy to do so." And I don't think this woman realized that she's speaking to the Rebbe Rashab. And so, kinalach, the arrangements were made that the older daughter met the older yeshiva bachur, And they liked each other, and they decided to get married. And the younger daughter, who was old enough to be a kalamadel, met the younger yeshiva bachur, that was walking very fast that day by the train station. And they said, "Oh, we like each other. Why don't we get married?" And they decided to get married. Two shidduchim at one time. And kinalach, and under the chuppah, the girls wore dresses that the Rebbe himself arranged for them to have. One of them was in the pink package with the pink ribbon and the pink flowers, and the other one got her dress in time for her chasana. And the story is almost over. There's a little bit more. 5 years later, the Friedeke Rebbe was traveling by himself, and he was near Pressburg. And he decided to stop into Reb Avram's hotel, it was still called Reb Avram's hotel, to see how the family was that they had visited 5 years earlier and that the Rebbe Rishab had arranged the two shidduchim. And he comes into the hotel, and who is there? The third daughter, who immediately recognized the Friedeke Rebbe, and he saw that she was already wearing a sheitel, which means that she was already married. And he asked about the family and how everybody was, and the girl said, "Well, my older sister got married, of course, to the yeshiva boy. He became a rav in a town far away. So they're living far away in the town where he's a rav. And my other sister who got married, her husband is a Rosh Yeshiva. He's the head of a yeshiva. And my husband, Baruch Hashem, is a fine man, and he is taking care of the hotel. And Baruch Hashem, we thank you and your father for all that you did." That is the end of this story. There was a big famous chasana, a big wedding, that of course there are many stories about, and this is called the big chasana of Zhilovin. Now, Zhilovin was a town in Russia, and over there was a special chasana. An einikel of the Alter Rebbe married an einikel of Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. So, not only the Alter Rebbe's family and Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev's family came together for the chasana, but of course many big tzaddikim and big rabbeim and chassidim and talmidim of the Mezitcher Magid came together to this chasana, and there are a lot of different stories, of course, about all the different halakha things that happened. Because when Yidden get together for a simcha, and there are a few days, well, not only the simcha is special, but all the things they do. Because chassidim are together, all kinds of good things happen. And there are different stories from Rabbi Shmuel Munkis and other chassidim. The Alter Rebbe's Rebbetzin, her name was Rebbetzin Sterna. And after the traveling all the way to Zhilovin for the chasana, she was very tired. But she wanted to make a special thing, the Kavod Shabbos. Now, the chasana was going to take place on an Erev Shabbos. Many times in those days, the wedding took place on an Erev Shabbos, and the Suda would take place on Shabbos. Anyway, Rebbetzin Sterna, she wanted to make a special thing, the Kavod Shabbos, because for the Shabbos meal, Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev would be the guest of the Alter Rebbe. Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev and his family, they would come to eat by the Alter Rebbe in Zhilovin, and they would be together for Shabbos. And she wanted to make a special Shabbos, special thing, Lekavod Shabbos. So she baked a delicious kugel, a special kugel that she herself made for Shabbos. And she put it aside. Of course, they didn't have a refrigerator in those days. She put it aside in a special place. And, of course, you know, everybody got ready for Shabbos, and it's Shabbos. What do Hasidim do together on Shabbos if they're not davening or learning? They're for bringing together. And there's a big for bringing going on, and they were making l'chaim, and of course you have some for bison, you have some food to eat, and they're trying to find some food to bring to the table, because there's a lot of chassidim, and they're making a lot of l'chaim, and they need some for bison. So they asked Reb Shmuel Munkus, please go to the kitchen and find something to eat, maybe some cake or something else that we should have to eat by the forbringing. Reb Shmuel Munkus goes into the kitchen, and he sees over there a kugel, and he takes the kugel. Now apparently, obviously, it was a kitchen that a lot of people went into. It wasn't just a private kitchen. A lot of people were staying in one place. So he takes the kugel, and apparently, you know, there was food for a lot of different people over there. But this happened to be Rabbits and Sterner's kugel that she baked, the kavod, the meal that was going to be with the Alter Rebbe and Levi Yitzchak Abedishev. And he takes the kugel to the table, and the chassidim start eating the kugel, and it's a delicious kugel, and they make l'chaim, and they eat kugel, and they eat a pickle, and they have a piece of herring or whatever's there, and they're for bringing. That's it. Comes time for the seuda, for the meal. Maybe this forbringing happened on a Friday night, and the meal happened the next day, or whatever it was. But it comes time for the meal that Levi Yitzchak Abedishev will eat with the Alter Rebbe. And the meal has started, and they're eating the fishy, and they're eating the things that go along with the fish, and it comes time for the fleishig part, and now Rebbetzin Sterner is getting very, very excited, because she's going to serve her special kugel. And she goes into the kitchen to get her kugel, and she goes over there. Rebbetzin Sterner is getting very excited, and she goes into the kitchen because she wants to serve her kugel now to the tzaddikim. And she goes over to the special place to get a kugel, and it's gone. And she says, where's the kugel? I left it here. And she's looking all around. The kugel is gone. Oy gewalt. I baked a special kugel, and it's gone. I baked it for the tzaddikim, for Levi Yitzchak Abedishev, and my husband. And she's looking around, and she's asking people in the kitchen, did you see the special kugel that was over there? And somebody said, we saw that kugel, right, by the forbringing. Yeah, we ate some of that kugel. Oh, was it delicious? What? The kugel was eaten already? How could the kugel be eaten already if it was over there? Well, Reb Shmuel Munkus brought it out to the forbringing, and we ate it. Boy, was it good. The best kugel we ever had. And Rebbetzin Sterner got upset. Reb Shmuel Munkus? He takes my kugel that I baked myself, the covered Levi Yitzchak Abedishev, and my husband, the Alter Rebbe, and he takes it out to the Hasidim for bringing it? Oi, hey, he didn't even ask me. Of course, he probably didn't even know or whatever. I mean, you know. And she was so upset. And she comes to the table, and she's so upset. Her husband sees she's upset. And he calls her over. What's wrong? You seem upset. It's Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. It's a day of Menucha and Tainuk. Happiness. She says, that chassid of yours, Reb Shmuel Munkus, he took the kugel. I baked the kugel. He took it. Shmuel Munkus, he did something not good. He took the kugel without asking. Oh, wait a minute. You're complaining about Reb Shmuel Munkus, and you're saying that he did something. Wait a minute, this is like a Beis Din, this is like a judgment. But the Torah says there has to be both sides. If you go to the judge, and you're arguing, Reuven is arguing against Shimon, can Reuven only go by himself, or Shimon has to be there too? Shimon has to be there too. I don't know if they continue this on Shabbos, because you don't want to make such a thing on Shabbos, but the Rebbe said, you have to wait till Reb Shmuel Munkus is here too, and we'll make a Beis Din, and we'll have an argument, and we'll see what happened. Now, exactly when, if it was on Shabbos, after Shabbos, whenever it was, the Alter Rebbe called Reb Shmuel Munkus, and the Rebbetzin Sterner both were there. And the Alter Rebbe said to Rebbetzin Sterner, okay, what was your complaint? Hey, Reb Shmuel Munkus, he took the kugel I baked special for the meal, for the tzaddikim, and he took the kugel to the forbringing, they ate it up, there's no kugel left, and he took the kugel, he didn't ask, and it's terrible because I wanted the Levi Yitzchak Abedishev and the family to have it, the kugel by the meal. So the Alter Rebbe says, okay, that's your complaint. Then he turns to Reb Shmuel Munkus. Okay, Reb Shmuel Munkus, what is your complaint? Reb Shmuel Munkus says, yeah, I have no complaints. It was a delicious kugel. Very geschmack. That's the story. Both were there. She had a complaint. He took the kugel. He said, I have no complaints. Everything is fine. It was a delicious kugel. No problem. She gave the kugel. I gave the kegel. Oh, it's late. We have to go. This story, as even though it's a short story, it is a very great story. Shh. Everybody should listen to this story if they want a little bit know how great the Rebbe was, and of course still is, because the Rebbe is with us and he's still our Rebbe. Now, just like the Eibishter himself, Kindelach, where do you see the greatness of the Eibishter? In his anivus. You know what anivus is? That Hashem is so great, he can even come down into a very small place. Something very high can come down even very low. This shows the greatness of the Eibishter himself. Kinalach, the Rebbe, a tzaddik, is like the Eibishter. It says in the Gemara, tzaddikim are like Hashem. They're very close to Hashem, and they're very like Hashem, because they're so halik. Halik means they're close to Hashem. What would be the greatness of the Rebbe in his anivus? It's called in English humility. How the Rebbe can come down into a very small place. Some important people, they're very important. They only speak to important people. If a little person comes to them, they say, oh, I'm too important for you. You're just a little person. Well, that is an important person who's a very small kind of important person. Then there's important people. They're so great and important that even if a little person comes to them, they treat that person very, very importantly too. That's a real important person. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, who is a person that has honor? He honors other people. Now listen to this story about the Rebbe. It's a very beautiful story. This happened not so long ago during dollars. A lot of people were in line and the Rebbe was giving out dollars. And as we know, since there's so many people, and as the Rebbe got older, nobody wanted the Rebbe to stand there for hours and hours because they felt bad that the Rebbe, who was, of course, getting very, very old, should stand for hours and hours giving dollars. On the other hand, the Rebbe wanted to give dollars. So what did they do? They had special people called the Vad HaMesader, the people that try to keep the order, and they make sure that nobody goes too slow, that they go kind of fast, that everybody should get a chance to get a dollar, but nobody should stand too much by the Rebbe because it'll take too much time, and that way everybody gets a chance to get a dollar. Also, the Vad HaMesader is on the lookout that nobody should, you know, bother the Rebbe, things like that, you know, protect the Rebbe. I mean, of course, Hashem protects the Rebbe, but they want to make sure that everything is okay and everything is fine. And this is what happened. People are going by the Rebbe. The Rebbe is giving dollars. The Rebbe is saying brachas. Once in a while, somebody might say a few words to the Rebbe. And the line is moving. All of a sudden, a certain man comes in front of the Rebbe. He looked kind of like a beggar man, dressed in kind of, you know, torn clothes and looked kind of like a poor beggar kind of a man. And he had kind of a funny look in his face that you might see him and say, "Oi, Nebuch, what a beggar kind of a person." And he didn't exactly look like a normal kind of a person. Maybe there was something a bit sort of not so normal about him. But every Jew is entitled to get in line for dollars. So he was in line for dollars. But all of a sudden, he got in front of the Rebbe. And he said very loud, "Rebbe, I'm very disappointed in you, Rebbe. You said Mashiach is coming, and Mashiach didn't come yet." Now, imagine when all the people around heard this man speaking to the Rebbe and saying that he is disappointed in the Rebbe, that Mashiach is not here yet, and the Rebbe said Mashiach is coming, and all of a sudden, Devar HaMasader, they're trying to pull him to get him away from the Rebbe, and they're thinking, "Oh, what a not normal person, how he's speaking to the Rebbe, get him out of here quick," and they're pulling him. Shh. And everybody felt bad. What kind of a person is that? Speaks with chutzpah in front of the Rebbe, "Oy Gevald," and they're pulling him away fast. All of a sudden, the Rebbe is motioning that the man should come back. Not that they should take him out. He says, "Bring the man back." And of course, as soon as the people saw that the Rebbe is motioning with his hand the man should come back, they bring the man back. And everybody's wondering, what could be that the Rebbe wants this man to come back? Doesn't he want him to be taken outside as fast as possible? That he was talking to the Rebbe like that? And they brought him back in front of the Rebbe. Shh. And he's standing in front of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said to him very nicely, very respectfully, he says, "You know what? I agree with you. I'm also disappointed in myself. Because I said Mashiach is coming and Mashiach didn't come yet. I'm also disappointed." Like he is being so friendly to this man, and he's saying, "You know what? What you're telling me is very important to me. And not only that, I think that I agree with you. It's very important that you're saying that." And he gave the man the biggest respect. And then, of course, the man went away. When everybody thought one thing, the Rebbe did a different way. This is the greatness of the Halik at Tzaddik, the Rebbe. That he could come even down into a very low place that nobody else sees how important it is, and the Rebbe treats that as important.